Biz Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. We've got a very special show for you today. First up, we take a look at the Minister of Finance in Okodongwana's budget speech. Economist Professor Waldo Krichel will also give us his feedback on the delayed speech. After that, we'll dive into the second Cape Winelands Knowledge Sharing Festival that took place in Paarl earlier this week. The event focused almost exclusively on addressing youth unemployment and the role artificial intelligence could play in helping alleviate the social ill. News Scoop attended the event and we heard from industry leaders like the Vice President of LinkedIn, Samius Clancy, on how community radio stations could use LinkedIn as a tool to reach their audience and contribute to addressing unemployment in their communities. We'll also hear from the Director of Digital Learning Solutions at SpecCon, Hermias Nivot. Hermias spoke to us about how their digital platforms are making short courses available to unemployed youth across the country at the fraction of the price of their online courses. We also managed to catch up with Professor Liz Archer from the University of the Western Cape. Professor Archer is a specialist in the area of AI in higher education, and she shared some tips with the younger generation on how to prepare for the world of work and become more employable. Finally, we hear from the chair of KC107.7, Dr. Harlan Klutter. Dr. Klutter shared with us how community radio stations and the community should work together to address unemployment and ensure a prosperous future for our future leaders. Stay tuned for a jam-packed show, but first, let's take a look at Minister Kodongwana's budget speech.
A look now at local business news.
The Minister of Finance in Okodongwana gave a blunt overview of the state of South Africa's economy with his budget speech this afternoon, with GDP growth averaging less than 2% for the last couple of years. He says this is far below the level required to meet our expanding list of needs. He says South Africa needs to grow the economy. Jumping ahead to VAT, the minister is proposing to increase the VAT rate by half a percentage point in 2025 and 26, and by another half a percentage point in the following year. This will bring the VAT rate to 16% in 2026 and 27. Minister Kodongwana was applauded this afternoon when he announced that public infrastructure spending over the next 3 years will amount to more than 1 trillion rand. More than 400 billion rand is allocated to transport and logistics, more than 200 billion rand for energy infrastructure, and more than 150 billion rand for water and sanitation. He says passenger rail is also improving, and he wants commuters at major hubs to be able to catch a train every 10 minutes. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, with us. Waldo, thanks for joining us. What did you think of Minister Kodongwana's budget speech?
The Minister of Finance has truly performed a balancing act this year. The big question, of course, was where he could cut spending or find additional sources of revenue. In the end, he continued spending on the Social Relief of Distress grant, making provision for positions for doctors and teachers, and keeping the 5.5 salary increase for public servants on the books. He manages this by increasing the VAT rate by half a percentage point this year and another half next year. He does not provide any relief for bracket creep, but at least keeps the fuel levy unchanged. There's also support to protect the poorest against rising living costs in the form of increased grants and the addition of a few more VAT zero-rated products. I think he's done what he can with the limited fiscal space available. He continues efforts to stabilize government debt, even though it will end up at a slightly higher level. He promises more investment in infrastructure and proposes plans to increasingly involve the private sector in electricity transmission and rail transport. High-income earners will have to bear a larger share of the additional spending, but the VAT rate increase means that everyone will carry a part of the burden. Once the debate over rands and cents is settled, we should focus more on how to accelerate those reforms. The DA has already indicated that they do not support the budget. The ANC plus MK, or the ANC plus the EFF plus smaller parties, could vote it through.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM. Unemployment in South Africa remains alarmingly high at 31.9%, despite a slight decrease from the previous quarter. The youth demographic is particularly hard hit, with an astonishing unemployment rate of 59.6% among those aged 15 15 to 24. The situation is exacerbated by a struggling education system and an economy that fails to generate sufficient jobs. In response to this pressing issue, KC 107.7 recently hosted its second Unblocking Youth Opportunities and Knowledge Sharing Festival in Paul in collaboration with LinkedIn and Microsoft. This event aimed to create a platform for businesses, academics, and industry leaders to share insights on empowering youth through digital skills, career development resources, and global networking opportunities. The Vice President of LinkedIn, Samius Clancy, discussed strategies the platform has implemented to tackle unemployment in regions like South Africa and Saudi Arabia. He emphasized the potential for community radio stations to leverage LinkedIn as a tool for reaching audiences and contributing to local employment solutions. Samius shared how some useful tips on how community radio stations in South Africa can leverage LinkedIn to attract partnerships and sponsorships to help address the country's unemployment rates.
So the first thing that local radio can do is to externalize what they're all about, okay? So bring their presence onto the platform, focus on their branding, focus on their communication. Essentially look at it as an extension of your existing marketing capability. So explaining to the locality, explaining to your audience, explaining to your target audience what it is you do, why you're unique, why you're the best at what you do, and that traffic will come through LinkedIn to you.
He also shared some strategies on how community radio professionals could use LinkedIn to network with industry experts and expand their reach.
Okay, so the amazing thing about LinkedIn, we've over 14 million members on the platform. So that allows the community radio presenters, workers, to actually network and engage with all members of business, all members of society, allows them to reach them directly, send them compelling reach outs, emails asking for connections to speak, propose business opportunities. But the best way to look at it is it's a networking opportunity, it's a networking capability.
And finally, he shared how LinkedIn could help community radio stations showcase their impact and engage with their audience beyond traditional broadcasting.
One of the things I always speak to community radio stations, and essentially you do give back to the community. Social impact's a big part of what you do. And what I like people like yourself doing, or the local radio stations doing, is highlighting the good that you're doing in society. Again, look at LinkedIn as an extension of your website. If you have an annual event, or if you're using a kind of an event where you bring the people together, you showcase this on LinkedIn. And you'll find that a lot of people will engage. It's a very trusting platform, so you don't get negative comments, you get positivity, and people will celebrate your impact in the local community.
Community radio is a powerful development tool, plays a crucial role in bringing together community members to help address the issues of unemployment. CMS urged community leaders, local businesses, higher education institutions, and community radio stations to use LinkedIn to connect with young people and to share opportunities and knowledge. One such opportunity is provided by SpecCon. SpecCon is a dynamic digital learning platform offering a wide range of accredited courses and learnerships tailored to meet the needs of both unemployed and employed individuals. With over 250 high-quality video courses, SpecCon provides learners with interactive assessments after each unit and a final exam to earn a certificate upon completion. Their mission is to combat South Africa's high unemployment rate, focusing on equipping unemployed youth with affordable, accessible training opportunities to enhance their employability. Additionally, SpecCon offered specialized courses aimed at upskilling professionals in the workforce, ensuring continuous growth and development across all sectors. SpecCon's Director of Digital Learning Solutions, Hermias Nivot, shared with us the different types of software solutions.
So we offer a very wide range of learnerships across all sectors, or most of the sectors. Our learnerships are predominantly funded by private institutions as a means to firstly, upskill youth in South Africa. Before doing so, employers get to claim tax rebates. They get benefits in terms of their BEE points as well as their employment equity.
In 2024, SpecCon was awarded over 20 QCTO qualifications and launched Tap Edge to make online learning more accessible for the masses. Hermias explained how it works.
Okay, so within the Tap ecosystem, Tap Edge is a business-to-consumer product where any individual can register a free account on the system. They can get access to around 20 free courses as well as a range of competency assessments that they can do. And it offers a very wide scope of e-learning content, over 300 courses. The courses that are not free can be bought anywhere from 100 Rand to 200 Rand a course.
SpecCon is also available for businesses to create their own educational content.
So businesses can use our system. So within the TAP ecosystem, we have the TAP Business Solution, which is widely regarded as a LMS tool, learner management tool. So it manages training for organizations, gives company administrators access to the library of all of our content, which they can then allocate to their staff and allow their staff to utilize the system. It's built at a subscription model, and they can use that. We've got another solution called TAP Create. So if you want to either create content for your organization, convert your traditional material into e-learning content, we've got a service that does that conversion. Or if you would like to provide your content for us to resell to our audience, we also have a solution in that regard.
He urged businesses and both unemployed and employed individuals to visit their website at www.speccon.co.za to get more information how to access their learnerships.
I think the best way to access it is just by going to our website, speccon.co.za. We've got a very complete list of all the learnership offerings we have there. If you are a learner looking to enroll in a learnership, you'll see there's a section where you can find more information. If you're a corporate organization that would like more information, you'll go to that section.
The second Cape Winelands Knowledge Sharing Festival also emphasized the significance of artificial intelligence in municipal governance, skills development, and higher education. Professor Liz Archer, a leading expert in the field, encouraged young individuals to leverage AI as a tool for enhancing their employability and preparing for the workforce.
Well, the first one is start using the AI. Something that people leave out of the equation often is what we call human oversight. Now, that can be built into a complex AI system, but it can also mean when you ask a question of an AI, looking into the answer that you're getting. The major problems that we do have with AI and the quality of what we get is the quality of how we ask things. We should not just ask a question. As with some of the demonstration, we should give it context. We might give an example of the type of answer. So, for instance, if you're writing a specific report, you can give it information. So feed it in information about a presentation. So you need to start learning or start approaching the AI as if it's a person, a mentor, a buddy. And as soon as you start thinking about it in that way, instead of as somebody that's competing for the job with you, you can reap benefit from it.
She also urged businesses to use AI for rapid data analysis, enabling them to make more informed decisions.
I was actually thinking now how much AI improves our ability to analyze qualitative data. Back 20 years ago, I was training people on how to do these analyses, and it would take you about 100 hours to analyze an hour worth of information. Now you can do it almost immediately using artificial intelligence. It's extremely easy to do with social media information. But now also spoken words that you can transcribe and even with video.
Professor Archer also provided insights into recommended AI platforms for users.
Okay, in fact, you can use any AI you like. For preference, I like ChatGPT. If you're using DeepSeek, that's a new one that's come out of China, just I'm not completely sure that it's not BCC Beijing. Your information may be taken. But there's an awful lot of these out. There's Grok, there's Llama, there's Mistral, there's Claude, there's Perplexity. There is an absolute proliferation. So you can use any of these tools. The principles remain the same for all of them. So as I said, you have to be extremely clear about your context, the question, how you want the answer. Do you want it in a table? Do you want it in bullet forms? You can use photographs of different scenarios, videos that you can input in to become multimodal. How you use it is more important than what you use. And in fact, why not use multiple ones to compare the answers and improve what you're getting?
The acting CEO of services CETA, Sibusiso Dladla, spoke about the role industry plays in youth development, and he shared with the audience how they facilitate skills development through learning programs like learnerships, skills programs, internships, and other learning programs. He explained that services CETA gives grants to employers and skills development providers to offer training to employed and unemployed learners to fulfill their role of overseeing occupation-based training. Before we say goodbye, we have one last guest, the visionary behind the Knowledge Sharing Festival, Dr. Harlan Kluter. Dr. Kluter is passionate about the community development and the role community radio plays in bringing together people from all walks of life. He shared with us the reason behind why KC 107.7 started the Knowledge Sharing Festival.
I think community radio is a very powerful tool in the hands of the community to tell their stories. So community radio is a community in conversation with itself. And so this initiative was born out of a roadshow that we did. We went from Sarum to Simondium to ask our listeners, what is it that you want? How do you experience KC? And this is what they told us. You know, they want jobs, they're looking for opportunities, and that's how we responded. We want to be responsive. We can't wait on government. And so local government and community radio, they're really intertwined, but it's a long way for us to go to find one another. I think we probably need a conference also between local government and community radio, because of the shared space. But for me, it's about a vision for your community. It's about, in my case, I use my academia and my theories, and I bring it to the radio station. I get the space to be able to do that. So there's complex problems to be solved in community, and for us, it's important to rally community together to have this difficult conversation.
Dr. Kluter concluded with a powerful message encouraging community radio stations across South Africa to collaborate with higher education institutions, businesses, and local governments to tackle unemployment in their regions.
Look, we believe in partnerships. So we call it the ABCG. We partner with academic institutions, and so we know what they're doing, and we give them the space to come and use their theories and to come and test it. We partner with the business community. No community radio can survive without business partners. So we don't want money, we want partnership. Then we partner with community. This is a sports-rich area. So we partner with rugby clubs, and we've got MOUs with a lot of them. So we also sell this idea and genuinely believe it, that this is their radio station. They're the shareholders of it. And then we partner with government. We cannot without our partners. So there would be no KC 107.7 if it was not for partners. And on this academic, you have to partner with the academic. And that's exactly what the National Development Plan also speaks to. That if we're going to get out of our governance crisis, it is through these collaborative partners between academics, business, community and government.
Thanks for joining us for a very special program today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.